We've on Wednesday nights have been in Romans, it's particularly Romans 6 now, and we spent like 4 or 5 weeks in Romans 5:12 to the end of that chapter, and we'll spend a number of weeks in Romans 6 because it really is our history. It is, if you want to read your history, if you want to read about all your experiences that are already yours in Christ, because you can't separate who you are from who He is and what He's experienced is what's available and real for you. No Christian ever gets a personal experience from Jesus that wasn't an experience Jesus has already accomplished for us. It's just we enter into it. So this is our history. It's our story. This is this amazing place, and it's all about grace. In the end, there's lots of ways to describe grace. Grace is such a remarkable word. You can have definitions that are really short, or like one is the whole acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a good one. Or it can be really long because you can never run out of trying to define what grace is all about. But in the end, grace is about us throwing the burden onto Him and Him doing what He does on our behalf, what we could not do for ourselves, and Him doing that as a free gift. We couldn't get ourselves out of our lost condition. There's nothing we could do about our fact that we were separated from God, that we were under the condemnation of sin, that we needed forgiveness. He reconciled us to Himself. He did that part. It was all grace. We didn't do anything. We didn't even ask Him to do it. He just did it and then said, okay, now I've done it. I've actually reconciled you to Me. I became you and reconciled you to Me. So what do you say? Would you accept the acceptance? And that's grace. And the Christian life's that way too. It's throwing the burden back on Him. We can't become a Christian apart from anything other than it all being grace. We can't live the Christian life. We can't do signs and wonders. We can't do holiness apart from Him. That's the wonder of it all. We get to get our eyes off of us. Grace forces us to glorify God. That's why God's not embarrassed by our weaknesses. He's not threatened by them. It bends us towards Him because we know the burden's got to be on Him. It's got to be a free gift because we can't do it. We can't do this Christian life. So I love some of the things that it says, like in Verse 17 was one of my life verses. For by the transgressions of the one, Adam, death reigned, spiritual death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift, that's grace, of righteousness, shall reign in life, the one Christ Jesus. The only way to reign in life is living in the reality of grace and the gift of the righteousness of Christ as my new nature and the abundance of grace to take every step, face every temptation. It's so awesome. Grace is, and then he says this. I love this part. Verse 20. And the law came in that the transgressions might increase. All the you should do's exposes all the I can'ts, which forces us to be bent towards grace. For the law came in that the transgression might increase. For where the sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That's amazing. Where sin increases, grace abounds all the more. So God's not threatened by your sin. He's not surprised by your sin. His solution is not to try harder, to feel worse, you know, to make promises you can't keep. His solution is grace. The solution to sin is not you trying harder. The solution to sin is not you feeling so bad that you make God vain promises that you've never been able to keep before and you won't want to keep them in the future. He's the promise keeper. Where sin abounds, grace abounds. The burden being on Him to keep me from sinning abounds all the more. So whatever that sin may be, your mood does, where your mood increases, His grace abounds all the more. Where your attitude increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your greed increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your lust increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your pride increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your self-rejection increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your insecurity increases, grace abounds all the more. Where your criticalness increases, grace abounds all the more. With your grumpiness increases, grace abounds all the more. With your complaining increases, grace abounds all the more. Got it? That's why this statement in chapter 5 is so important at the beginning. Therefore, having been made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. Now, we talked and explained about what the glory was like last Sunday in real simple terms. It's just the manifestation of His presence and His character in the moments as we looked, as he lives his life, reveals himself through us, as he hits home runs. You know, when I'm tempted to be impatient and grace abounds all the more, and there's glory that comes forth. When I tempt to get angry or resentful and grace abounds all the more, that's a home run. And you can, it's a glory. It's an atmosphere of glory. Therefore, we exalt in the hope of glory because Christ in us is the hope of glory, right? But he says here, he said, therefore, we have obtained our access or our introduction into this grace in which we stand. So this thing about the free gift of God to meet our every need, to conquer our every temptation, to embrace us with unconditional acceptance when we fall, to cleanse us and reaffirm our forgiveness when we fail, that grace that and when you face every situation, every circumstance, every relationship, the ability of God as a free gift that I get to throw it all on him, it's on him. The burden's on him. I stand in that. And if you stand in it, it surrounds you. Everywhere I look, every time I look and I see something coming at me, what I see myself is surrounded in grace. Grace covers that one coming from that direction. 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 Oh, you know, like the attitude that sneaks up on you when you weren't looking for it? Well, you're surrounded by grace. You're standing in grace. Think about that. And you never stop discovering. He says, therefore, we have access or introduction by faith into this grace. Why? Because you're in Christ. And you didn't even put yourself there. He did. So how much time do we spend? Oh God, I want to be free from this. Here's grace's testimony. Here's your history. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has already set you free from the law of sin and death. I want to be set free from this. He says, well, it's already history that's happened. You're standing in grace. There's grace has already taken care of that. And when the temptation comes, grace is prepared to face that. The free gift of his ability. The burden's on him. Christians don't fail because they're weak, because of their weaknesses. In our weaknesses, strength is made perfect. Christians don't fail because of their weaknesses. Christians fail because they don't believe, trust in grace. They don't know they're standing in grace. And it surrounds them in every direction. So what do you see in life? Somebody said something to me the other day. They said, well, you're in a rock and a hard place. And the situation seems that way. But one of the first things that came out of my mouth was, not my rock, it's not my hard place. And I thought, I'm so grateful that came out of my heart. Because it's not my rock and not my hard place. Grace has got it covered. Now, what is it going to look like? How's it going to work out? I don't have a clue. Therefore, I'm not supposed to have a clue yet. If his grace wanted to give me insight into what he's going to do, he would do that by grace. That's a gift. But if I don't have a clue, then I'm not supposed to have a clue. And therefore, it's not my rock and not hard place. I'm standing in grace, not in a rock and a hard place. Well, you're in a tough situation. No, you're standing in grace. And it's his tough situation. Well, I'm really tired of this thing, this attitude I have. Well, he was tired of it a long time ago. That's why he crucified you. You're standing in grace. I'm not trying to get the grace. Stop asking him for the grace. Stop asking him for help. You're standing in grace. You with me? It's like standing in a big, huge vat of oatmeal going, would somebody please give me some oatmeal? You're standing in it. Just enjoy it. Just start praising God for it. And whatever you've experienced, it's just an introduction. There's so much more. That sea of grace that you stand in is so vast and so big. There's nothing coming at you from any direction that the burden isn't on him. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.